The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Let's lift our hands. Praise God. Oh, we lift up His name today. Thank you, dear God, for the gathering. We give you praise this morning. Wow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, dear God, that we can lift up your name. We come ready to speak and declare your goodness today. We ask, Lord, that as we lift your name, dear God, that you'd be glorified in this house, Father, in this atmosphere, in this city, in this parish, in this state. Dear God, we want to lift up your name. You said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father, there's a need for men to be drawn unto you. And they don't even know it at times. But Father, there's this thing that's called coming back to you. Coming back to you. And Father, may that be exemplified today with churches meeting all over. That they're saying, we're coming back to you. In order that a word might be spoken. In order that a prayer might of deliverance might be spoken. In order that chains may break in people's lives. In order that people will come into the kingdom and be born again. We pray for deliverance. We pray for your will to be done today. Be glorified today in this house in Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm Dave Ziegler, substitute for Pastor Morris today. What a blessing it is when he's not here and when his wife Pat's not here for us to be able to come and speak to you today. And so thank you, and let's worship, and then I'll come back. Amen.
You are the light. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. Yes, you are, and you rose. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. A Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for
Father, in your mercy, forgive.
Breathe life into we pray I'll tell you in this song.
Beginning and the end, beginning.
darkness and brought us into the light. Lift up his name. Can you sing with me? Do you have a song where you can hum and go, oh, he's called me from darkness into light. He's put soul within my spirit. I'm not just my person and myself anymore. He's added to me. He's given to me. And I'm dedicated to him. And I sing a song. I sing a song of deliverance. Oh, he is who I represent today. Oh, Ramoholoboshaya. Oh, Holomoshihamakoshi. He's called you. He's called you to do a work. He's called you to lift his name. And we do it with great joy in Jesus' name.
Rejoice in the Lord my God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Ro and Becky and worshipers out there today. Wow. Come on in and let's all have a seat. But you may want to say hi to your neighbor before you sit down. Maybe shake a hand. You know, a few months ago, we weren't getting in each other's faces. Why? Because of that COVID thing, remember? Well, we know that that disease exists, but yet, even though that COVID thing exists, there's somebody that's Lord over all of this. And let's just say this if we can. By the way, I'm Dave Ziegler again, having a great day here with you at the church as well as on the internet and radio. Let's just say this as we've sat down here, that even though these things have been taking place, with sickness and such taking place, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, cover us. Cover us against sickness. Cover us against disease.
Yes.
Many have passed away, they say, as a result of this COVID thing, but yet many are working through and coming through their sickness. And
that's
we're thankful
right.
to God for that.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
But getting back to what I was saying, you know, pneuma means breath. It's out of the scriptures.
Yes.
And you notice that this COVID thing affects the lungs. It affects what we say. It wants to shut down the lungs so that we can't do what? We can't speak. We can't teach. We can't praise. I call it an attack.
Amen.
That's what I call it. On us, on the body of Christ, which means we need to pray. We need to knock. We need to keep seeking no matter what happens.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
And
right.
So today, wow, there's so much to say.
Yeah.
But we got to stick to what the word is, and we'll do that. I'm going to be speaking to you about some prayer. We need to operate our lungs and get our lungs going.
All right.
We need to go into our closets at home. But next week, we're going to do a little thing a little different. We're going to come in here with expectant prayers
yeah.
on our heart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Lord, let's open this microphone up next week for me just to say a few things and to help guide and lead our prayer time. But, wow, I'm going to ask you to come with what the Lord lays on your heart this
Hallelujah.
Week so that when we meet together
Hallelujah.
Next week, we'll come together with whatever He puts on your heart to pray. And we're going to do some praying and petitioning and making some declarations, but we're also going to do some warfare.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Let's do it.
When we came into God's kingdom, when we became born again, boy, did your eyes open up or what? To realizing that this is a spiritual battle that we're in. And it's such a spiritual warfare, and it's getting dark,
yes.
but it's getting lighter as we proclaim His light and His salt.
His name.
Amen.
Okay? I'm going to be talking to you today out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. And we're going to not only see it up here on the board, but when we're done, I'm going to give you some homework. How many of you like homework? Do you mind doing some homework? Do you mind taking the notes that we have today home with you? We've got them printed up because I want it to be as a reminder this week that we come back next Sunday ready to pray and tear down some things. Amen. Now this prayer that we're going to look at today is what Jesus said to do. He said for His disciples to pray this way. And really what it was is an introductory to how we should pray. And wouldn't you know, these are the basics of prayer that Jesus listed here. But wow, we are able to go and carry this even further. There are things that we'll be doing next week, binding and loosing.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be agreeing with heaven next week on prayer and warfare in such a way that, you know, when you really start agreeing, how many of you have gone there? Let me ask you. you forget where you are.
Come on, Dad.
When you really start agreeing with God, earthly things don't even matter anymore. The pain that's in your body probably disappears. The thing that bothered you or caused you worry, you don't even think about it anymore. Because you're agreeing with the Father, and you're in this realm where it's like, whoa. You mean I can really go there?
Yeah.
I can really speak and see things the way He sees them?
Yes.
And a smile can appear on your face as you're praying? And you can even laugh while you're praying? And you can cry while you're praying? Because it's an unbelievable thing to be where He is. And sometimes we get caught up there.
All right.
And then you get out of that thing and you're like, oh, that's right, I'm on planet Earth. He put me here to do something.
Yeah.
I just had a special time with Him where I was gone. But now I'm back here on Earth and there's things for me to do. Thank God for those times.
Yeah,
have any of you been there?
Hallelujah.
Where it's like, it truly didn't matter.
Yeah,
earthly things were gone.
Yes.
People could have probably looked at you and saw you praying, but you were in the Spirit. You were caught up.
Yes.
What Paul calls being caught up.
Because
things didn't matter.
That's right.
Think about that for next week. Let's think about that for next week.
Woo.
Jesus said here, pray in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then here's the added amazing part. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said to His disciples and those that were gathered that we should pray in this manner. Now, we're going to break this down today. We're going to break down about how we should pray. First, we pray related to God's glory. We pray agreeing with Him. We declare things. Wow. God declares things and it happens. All it takes is God saying it and it happens. His creation came about by declaration. And He gives us the ability to what? Agree with Him. And make declarative statements. How many of you know that when you begin to pray in your prayer life, you were like, oh God, I need this and I need that. When you first came to Him, you may have said, I'm going to pray because I need this and that. Well, after a few years of doing your prayer life, it's kind of like it switches over, at least mine has, to saying, I'm going to get to those what I need, my petitions, but I got to praise You first. I've got to declare and come to You first. You know, if you're an adult, if you have children, and your children come to you, and it's like the first thing that they do is approach you in the morning and say, Mommy or Daddy, I need this, I need this, I need this. And there's no welcome. It's like, I just need this. And it's like, yeah, we understand you what you need, but how's about a hi? How's about I love you, Mommy or Daddy, because I love you, little kid. How's about a welcome? We're to welcome. We're to be welcoming and saying, God, I'm going to declare to You how much I love You. Our Father, who is in heaven. John 14:13 says, and whatever you ask in My name, Jesus is speaking, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in His Son. Wow, that's why we pray when we're finished praying in Jesus' name. In order that God be glorified, because Jesus is the way to God. Amen? Our Father, who is in heaven, we acknowledge God with all His many facets. He's God our provider. He's God our healer. He's God our banner. He's God our peace. These, all these things. He's got different names. Secondly, we say, hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should begin with worship, the declaration of God's worth, just like I said. We're entering into His presence and we're saying, God, this is who You are. Even in the middle of all the things that I'm going through, whether I'm on a mountaintop of happiness or maybe in a valley of sadness, You're worthy to be praised no matter what.
That's right.
No matter what. I've learned, and I call it through the discipline of prayer, that if I'm at my lowest, I can still say and declare, "You're Lord of my life," and I might find myself in a situation that I don't like, but He's still Lord, and I'm going to praise Him in the middle of the bad as well as the good. Thy kingdom come. Number three, we are to pray for the things that pertain to God's kingdom now and for His coming to manifest His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. How many of you realize something here? That when Jesus came and brought the kingdom, that the world already had its set away of doing things, had its own kingdom. And here comes Jesus rebuking religious people, loving sinners, and saying, this isn't the way to live. You heard that you're supposed to take a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye, but I say love your neighbor and love your enemy and pray for your enemy. It sounded a bit different, didn't it? But He said, this is the only way it's going to work. This is the only way you're going to change your world. It's the only way you're going to turn your world upside down is to do it the heavenly way. You've been doing it for 2,000 plus 3,000 years here, and look, not much has changed. Huh? I sent you Adam, who was perfect. He sinned. Then came Noah, and I let the world be destroyed with a flood, and it still didn't work. And then they built a tower to try and come up to me. Oh, I got to send Jesus, the Savior, who will finally straighten this mess out here on earth. God loves us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So He had to send the sacrifice. He had to send Jesus. And Jesus had to be the sacrifice. He had to send Jesus in order that His blood be shed so that we could be forgiven. His kingdom come. Our world needs to be turned around according to the Scriptures. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All that is in the scope of God's will is in the scope of prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you when you said pray about everything. It doesn't mean pray all the time about everything, meaning you got to stop and kneel down and pray every time, everywhere. No, we stay what? An attitude of prayer. An attitude that when we're going about our day, that we can stop at any time and just say, thank you, Lord. That person just called on the phone. I know a lot of people in this room probably get phone calls during the day asking for prayer. Or you might have somebody send you a text or an email that says, we need prayer. And it's an amazing thing to say, okay, I'm going to take it to God in prayer. Everything we can pray about. Thank you, Lord. Some people might just be getting a prayer life. You might be tuning in today, and you might be thinking, I don't even know how to pray. Well, hopefully by the time I'm done, you'll get an idea of how to pray. Because we're going to pray when we're finished what I'm saying today, and we're going to do some things just a little different. Secondly, in the area of praying, we pray related to human interests or petitions. Thank God for that, huh? Thank God that we have a Father who listens to what we say. Now, does He answer us? Yeah, He answers us. Does He answer us every time when we need an answer? He waits. And He teaches us to wait.
That's right.
Sometimes it's an immediate answer, but sometimes He says, I hear you, don't think I don't hear you, but I'm not going to answer you right now. How many of you understand that? Sometimes people ask, can you pray this for me? And I'm like, I'm thinking I shouldn't pray that for you. God's telling me something different.
Yes.
Maybe we ought to pray it another way. Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody say, hey, can you pray this? And it's like, oh, it just don't rub right with me. I don't know if I should really pray that. Let me think about that. I remember one time we were praying for people come up and ask us to pray. And I said, do you want that? I don't know about that. I feel like I shouldn't pray for that. You know what I should pray for? This is what I should pray for. How's about this? We want to ask the Lord, what is it that we should do? Even how to pray.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that we don't know it all? I'm so glad we don't know it all. The older I get, the more I'm so thankful I don't know it all. Oh. I used to look at elderly people, and I'm almost there, and I used to say, why do they not talk as much anymore? Why? It's because they're wise. And they're saying, I think I've seen enough, and I've heard enough, and I'm just going to watch you, and I'm going to sit back and be quiet. Sometimes you don't have to say a thing. We need to ask God, how should we pray? Amen. Glory to God. In the area of petitions, give us this day our daily bread. Bread represents what? All needs in the natural realm, like food, finances, clothes, and shelter. You know, here in America, we don't seem to pray these things much anymore. Ooh. But when we go to these third world countries, wow, we go into the church services and we'll see people get up and say, I'm thankful for the food that was put on my table this morning. I'm thankful for the clothes I get to wear in this church service. I'm thankful. And I sit that going, oh, oh, oh. Sometimes we arise to an occasion where our needs are met, and sometimes we forget to thank God for those things. It's just something I'm just reminding myself of today as the rest of it. God has taken care of us, but we do continue to pray for our needs. On the contrary, if you read a little bit further down in this same chapter, Jesus says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But what does the last verse say? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Wow. God does take care of us. We look around after serving him for a number of years and we realize, wow, he has done some amazing things for me. He has provided for me in ways that I know I could not have provided for myself. He does better than me. I might have a degree, a Bible degree. I might have an engineering degree. I might have even wealth handed down to me. But still, he knows how to take care of me better than I can take care of me. Thank you, God. And do you know, sometimes, as we were singing in the song previous, he gives and he takes away. And you know what? Wow. Some of us need stuff taken away from us. We just flat need things taken away. Sometimes the material blessings are so much that we what? We begin to elevate those things and come to a place where we're like, we're not thanking God. And he's like, oh, I can remove that. Is it that our country maybe has come to that place? That we have so much, so much. How many of you remember in the scriptures where the children of Israel were being given manna out in the wilderness and God was providing their every need, and they said, well, we want quail. We want to eat quail. We want quail. We want quail to eat. And God says, I'll give you the quail. And it says that he gave them so much quail that it made them, they were sick of it. It rose up off the ground. It was like this high of quail. Sometimes I think here we're so blessed that we've got so much quail. Here in these states, and we forget about our dependency on God. Deuteronomy talks about that we shouldn't forget because we're so blessed. Amen? So sometimes we got to be corrected, and sometimes he's got to take away. And that's not all bad when he decides to take away. Amen. Can I hear an amen on that one?
Amen.
Wow, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it. And I'm saying it too. I'm making myself say this. Okay. Wow, here's the biggie. Number 6. And in this prayer, Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This petition relates to man's need for forgiveness of sins.
Wow. I might touch on this for a minute here. Isn't it amazing how Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven? Look that word up in the Greek. I haven't, but I know that this phrase that says, as we also have forgiven, is probably one word. When you study Greek, you start seeing, wow, how can they pack all that in one word? But they do. And do you realize that when Jesus spoke in this prayer and he said, I expect you to forgive. When people do us wrong, we're to forgive. I'm going to touch on this a little bit in a minute. I'm going to keep going, but I got to come back to it, okay? Will you let me come back to it? Okay. On the contrary, Jesus did not mean that we earn forgiveness by forgiving others. Matthew 18:35 says that God expects us to forgive our brothers from our heart. So that means that we don't forgive others in order to gain God's blessing. We forgive others because we live on planet Earth and we're earthy people. And we just need to sometimes go to that person that offended us or that we have offended and say, I need to get this right. There's another scripture that just popped into my head. You know where it says about husbands? Wow. There's a scripture that talks about, I'll just paraphrase, and it says, husbands, your prayers are hindered because you and your wife aren't really on the same page. You might be being a little rough. And now your prayers are hindered because of your relationship with your wife. Ooh. That's for us guys. I don't hear anybody saying amen about that one. Amen. But do you realize that if it's in the scripture, golly. Woo. Okay. I'm still coming back to forgiveness, but let's go on to 7. And do not lead us into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil or the evil one. We're to pray that God would not have us go into temptation, but to deliver us. That means he's got his eye on us all the time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. Wow, you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting? And then who came right up into Jesus' face? It was the devil to what? To tempt him. Everybody gets tempted. Whether you are a born-again believer or not, you are going to be tempted. But God said that to his that are his beloved, to those that are saying, yes, I'm following you with all my heart, Lord, he says to those, I'm going to provide a way of escape when you're tempted. Kind of like, you know, the birds. We can't stop the birds from flying over our heads. But we sure can keep those birds from making a nest on the top of our head. We don't have to let those birds nest on top of our heads. But God is so faithful that he is telling us that when we're tempted, that he is going to provide a way of escape in that time of temptation. He is so that's why I think it says he's so faithful right here. Because he's looking down and he's going, oh, that one of mine's getting ready to get tempted. Okay. I provided a way of escape for you. There it is. Go for it. And if we heed to that way of escape, then we won't do what? We won't go into that sin that's being brought before us. Look for our ways of escape. Open our eyes. Let's do that. Let's open our eyes when temptation comes. Because God is so faithful that he's willing to provide a way of escape. Because he's for us. He wants us to win. He doesn't want us to be overcome by temptation. He wants us to overcome. Finally, we pray this. Another declarative statement when we're finishing up our prayer time. And believe me, this is just a model today. I think many of us in this room and maybe people that are watching pray not only by this method, but do some warfare. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amazing that we can say to God, that which I've just prayed, that which I've just declared, that which I've just petitioned, I give it to you because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. No matter what happens, no matter if I am in a prison somewhere in another country because of preaching the gospel, or in presently in the prison now here in America, or I might find myself in a desperate situation where, oh, who was in the prison and prayed? Was it Paul and Silas? They were in the prison, and they, instead of saying, you know, it's hot, it's nasty, and it smells bad in this prison, they didn't sit there and go, oh, it's me. They said, we're gonna praise God right in the middle of this prison. And God was like, oh, look at my men, look at my boys. They're in prison, and they're praising me right in the midst of disaster. They don't even deserve to be there. They were put down there because they messed up the tempo of life as people know it. And so they get put in prison because they stood up to the woke generation and said, we're going to preach this gospel because we can't stop doing it. God gave us this, and we see it as a cure. And we all need to wake up. And they're in prison. He says, oh, y'all are going to be released from prison. And by the way, you're going to take some people into the kingdom as you're leaving this prison, because somebody came to Christ. Was it Cornelius? Oh, the jailer. Thank you. The jailer came. Amazing what took place, even in our time of lifting the Lord up. Okay. I've got to say this thing about forgiveness. Can I share about that for a little bit? Then I'm going to say a few things and conclude. A must condition in prayer is forgiveness. For if we forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Why is that put at the end of the most famous prayer in the Bible? It's because God's serious about this thing of forgiveness. Have you ever in your relationship with God felt like your prayers were like blocked? Have you ever felt like, wow, it seems like my relationship with God is at a standstill? Well, if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and right all the time, it's not his problem. In fact, it's never his problem, because he's right all the time. Sometimes we need to be reminded he's right all the time. He's right when we see injustice taking place on the streets. He's right when we see the most craziest things happening and go, what was that and how did that happen? God is right, no matter what. God is right when a loved one of yours dies in an unjustifiable way. God is right, no matter what happens. Sometimes we got to be reminded that there was this thing called the Old Testament, and God was right in allowing an angel to kill 185,000 people at one time. That was right. But how? God is right all the time, no matter what. No matter what we see, no matter how crazy sin devours, God is right, no matter what. No matter what. Thank God for the Old Testament, because the Old Testament proves that the hardest conditions of life have been experienced, and God still loved the world. When he could have said, I'm done with you, and he said, I'm going to still believe and have hope that you'll come to me. And then came Jesus. Again, we got to remember that the mark of a Christian, a true Christian, is forgiveness. If there's anybody that's supposed to forgive in this world, for injustices and for crazy things that go on that we look at and go, that is not fair. God, did you see that? Yeah, I saw it. I've called you to forgive. It's what makes us distinguishable about any other people on earth. The ones that say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. Because what happens if we don't? Our relationship and that flow gets cut off because we didn't forgive, no matter the tragedy. So when I see tragedy take place and injustice, I sit back like a little kid and go, I'm just going to reprogram my mind right now and say, Lord, I don't get that, but you're faithful. You're faithful. And I'm going to do what you say to do because I don't want my relationship blocked with you. I have to keep the flow going, and it's not worth unforgiveness and blocking that flow. Amen? So that's why Jesus said, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven. The expectation is, as if God were to say, you want that flow to continue with you and I? Forgive. And don't let it get up in your craw. And don't let unforgiveness go to the next stage, which is hate and bitterness. And then it goes to another stage after bitterness. And we'll touch on what happens after bitterness happens. Oh, defilement. Defilement. Defilement is when you get before a group of people or another person because you're not forgiving someone else and you begin to spew. Oh. And they become what is called defiled. We've all done it and we've all been spewed on. Let's face it. We don't want that to be our lifestyle. Because once that happens, we become sarcastic. Wow, it's almost like you can find it in the scriptures how all these steps take place. But sooner or later, because of unforgiveness that started all this, we find ourselves in a place where like, oh, I've walked away from the church. I've done this. I've walked away. And we don't know who we are. Because our relationship with God was blocked because of unforgiveness. That's what marks us, folks, our willingness to forgive. Amen? I know he's touching some hearts now. He touched mine. He said, you better ask for forgiveness before you get up and preach this message. And I said, okay. I don't want that flow to be broken. I want that flow to continue. Amen? You might say, Dave, stop preaching and go on to meddling. Well, let's just say the Holy Spirit knows how to do it better than I do. In my conclusion about how we should pray. We are to pray to God, our Father, who art in heaven, because he is all wise, all loving, and all powerful. We are instructed to pray in the name of Jesus. We are to pray for his will to be done in everything. Wow. Thank you, Lord, where you said in the scripture to pray about everything. We are to pray for the coming of the kingdom. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it's an amazing thing when I start looking at some of these videos that I've seen of some of these young people that get out in the streets or go to another country and just walk up to others and say, hey, do you want prayer? Do you want prayer? Can we help you? I see that you're limping. Can I pray for your knee? We're seeing these things happen. And we're watching people video these things and people get healed. The kingdom of God is here. Thank you, Lord. We can make a difference in our community. We can make a difference in our world. We are to pray for our daily necessities. We are to pray for forgiveness and practice forgiving others. We are to pray for the leading of the Lord and deliverance from evil. And we are to pray in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm so glad he put that in there. You know, one of the gifts spoken about in 1 Corinthians is the gift of faith. And how without it, it's impossible to please God. So what does he do? He puts us out on limbs. He puts us out in risky areas. He puts us in a place of challenge. Why? Because he's like, I want to see how my kids are going to do. I want to see how my beloved, the church, the body of Christ, those that are born again, I want to see how they're going to do. I want to test them. I want to see if their faith is working, because, you know, guys, as God's speaking to us, he says, remember, without faith, you really can't please me. Woo! That's why we get challenged all the time, because it's him doing the work in us. And we're saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. And he's like, okay, I heard you say it. I'm going to put you out in a risky position. I'm going to ask you to pray this. I'm going to ask you to go and pray for that person. I'm going to ask you to forgive. I'm going to ask you to dot, dot, dot. And there comes challenge. And we're like, oh, but I was just praying my prayer. And God's like, I know you were praying your prayer. And I heard you. And I'm going to push you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, did what? Before Jesus did his first miracle, turning the water into wine, she pushed him. Mary pushed Jesus. Jesus wasn't ready. At least he said he wasn't. But he said, okay, I'll do it. And Jesus spoke to the men and said, now do what he tells you to do. So Mary, the mother of the Lord, our Lord, pushed Jesus. Even our Jesus had to go through challenge. But boy, when he answered and was ready, whoo, nothing was going to slow him down. They tried to kill him several times before the cross. They couldn't touch him. They could not take him captive because he had too much to do. So, this prayer ministry, I call it today, as well as what we should do, no matter if we're called to intercession or not, is what we're to do. Some of us here are intercessors. Some of us here are like, what am I to do today? I'm retired. What am I to do today? I'm just here to remind you that you're to pray, that you're to intercede, that you're to be there for other people. And to do it with a smile. And to do it with a heart of joy. When people come to us, we got to have that smile on our face that says, ah, okay, I'm going to smile. I might not feel like smiling, but I'm going to smile on your behalf. I'm going to do what Jesus did and sacrifice on your behalf and pray that prayer that needs to be prayed, or do that thing that needs to be done. Amen. We've got the power. He's placed it on us. We can believe for the impossible to be possible. We can believe for these things. Amen? Grace and I pray for our kids and we pray for our grandkids. And we see the results. We're watching it happen. Are you praying for your kids and your grandkids? I see those shaking heads. Some of them know better, but they're doing what they shouldn't do. And we're saying it's time to come home. It's time to come home. There's a home for you, child and grandchild. It's time to come home. And they're going to come home. I'm here to tell you they're going to come home. And it might not be the way we think it's going to be that they come home, but they're coming home. Let's not grow weary in well-doing as we pray and as we believe for God to touch our kids and our grandkids and our loved ones, because things are cranking up. Amen. Things are changing. Yes. As we pray, thank you, Lord, for the model of prayer. Now, next week, when we come, we've got handouts, but next week, as the Lord leads you, let's come with an expectant heart as to what the Lord would have you to pray. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. And sometimes we just need to get up and say, oh, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. You know, when I stand up here and I'm praying, I expect you to agree with me. I expect you to put on that soldier uniform that Grace was talking about. I expect you to suit up and put on that armor, because we might not be able to do it without you. There may be a little bit of lag if you don't have on your armor. We don't want to lag. We want to go forth in power and do this together. You remember back in the day when the Holy Spirit came on the church, and how everyone was in unity. And to such a degree was the unity that if someone sinned, some people died. I mean, God took them. Woo! Who was it, that husband and wife? Ananias and Sapphira. Is that who it was? Woo, God was serious. Because the Holy Spirit had just been poured out and there was no room for playing games. And God said, I'm serious about this. And some people actually passed away because of disobedience. Will it ever be that way again? I believe it can be that way. Not that we want to see people passing away, but knowing that what we pray truly does touch heaven. Because folks, it can happen. I'm here to remind you today. I've come by to pass and say these things to you today that, hey, woo, we got to get those flames and those coals lit back up. And as we do so, wow, we're going to see some things change. We're going to see some things change. On Thursdays, we're meeting here, right here in this place, 330 Robert Boulevard in Slidell, at 7 p.m. on Thursdays to pray. And we're doing some warfare. And if you're in-house and you're able to come, please come. And if you're hearing us by internet, you're hearing us by radio, on Thursdays, we're going to be praying at 7 p.m. right here. Why? Because we want to see darkness pushed back. Yes. We know what prayer does. We know how it preserves our lives as well as pushes back darkness. Well, some more darkness has arisen in our area and we want to push it back.
That's right.
And please come and be a part of pushing back. I think a lot of you might know what I'm discussing about some darkness that's come to St. Tammany Parish that we don't want to see. We do our part, and then we step back and watch God do His part. Amen? And God is doing His part as we watch Him touch the lives of some attorneys and of some business people in this city that have said, oh, we're going to take this. We're going to fight. And we're going to see some things pushed back in Jesus' name. He's gathering His army, isn't He?
Yes.
And we are His army. Whether we meet here or whether we meet in another building or whether we meet under a tree, which I love the best, just outside. Oh my. It's wonderful to meet outside and to be blessed by His glory outside. But we are His army. And there's great things left for us to do. And we're going to do those things according to the way the Lord says to do them. Thank you for your submissive spirits. Thank you for a submissive heart. In a group that I see here even today, I see the submissive hearts. We're human, but yet we're born again believers. But we've got a submission about us that says, I'm going to do right no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to do right. I'm going to be instructed by God and His Word, and I'm going to do right. Thank you for your stand. But then we all still need to be reminded, don't we? I need to be. When I was preparing this lesson, I was like, oh, the simple way to pray. Where have I gone? Except to His simple methods of how to pray. If you'll stand with me. Wow, we'll dismiss in a second, but before we do so, oh, glory to God. There may be some watching that you say, Dave, I don't know what you just said, what you just preached, but I don't even know how to pray. You might not know Jesus. You might say, oh, I don't even know who He is, but you keep talking about Him. And I'm here to say today He's the Savior of the world, and He's the Savior of your soul. And that I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to just say it like it is. We all are sinners. We need a Savior. And you're wrong. You're wrong until you come into the kingdom. We think wrong. We look wrong. We wonder why we're so messed up, why we can't get anything right. And it's because we're wrong and we need a Savior. And so today, if you're watching, and please, please hear my heart as a father, I love to be told when I'm wrong so that I'm not deceived anymore. Sin separates us from God. And it will eternally keep us from God unless we come to the end of ourselves and we say, I'm going to surrender my heart. So I'm asking you today, realize that, yes, I am the problem as to why I don't hear from God. I am the problem as to why I don't have a relationship. And now I'm going to surrender my life to God. I'm going to say, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the one that God sent for me to hook up with so that I could have a relationship with you. So I surrender to you. And yes, I am sinful. And I need a Savior. So pray that prayer to God today. Humble yourself. It's the only way. It's the only way is to humble ourselves and say, Dear God, I'm a sinner and I need you. And we need to come to the end of ourselves because we're selfish. We're eternally selfish. And we need somebody to just break in like Jesus does by the Holy Spirit and touch us. And thank you, Jesus, for getting to the place where you overlooked my selfishness and you're willing to love me right as and where I am, right where I am. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as I'm praying, I pray for people out there that they pray the same thing. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I give you this sin. I give you the wrongdoing in my life. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of myself because I've separated by sin and by doing wrong myself from you, and I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to come home. Pray that to him. Just like we pray to an authority figure or talk to an authority figure, that's how we pray to God. We just open our mouth and we begin to confess and say, I did this, I did that, but I bring it all together as one and I say, God, please forgive me. I accept Jesus, that he died on that cross, and that he loves me, and that he died on that cross that I might come to the realization that right now I can be forgiven for all those things that I've done that have separated me from you, and I'm ready to come home. There is a home. There is a place for me. And I want my place in heaven, but I want to live on earth before I get there. I want to truly live. So forgive me. Forgive me. And I receive Jesus into my heart as Savior of my life. No more will I run my own life anymore. I give it to you and I say, God, take over the government of my life and I place it into your hands. Thank you for those that are praying this prayer right now. Those that are broken, crying, hurting, and are the end of themselves. Lord, you will come and you will touch them right there, right now. So we pray for them that they may come into this kingdom that we just talked about, that they might be loved on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you're out there and you prayed that prayer, come find a place like what we're talking here in Slidell, 330 Robert Boulevard. And come in and prepare yourself to get water baptized. Water baptism. Water baptism. Jesus says we got to be water baptized. That's the next step. That's the next step. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's lift our hands. Thank you, dear God, for today. Father, I pray that as hands are lifted in this house, and if people are lifting up their hands wherever they may be right now, Lord, that you would heal sick bodies. That you would heal diseased bodies. Father, that you would cause our minds to line up with your word. That we would be delivered from fear. That we would be delivered from those things that bring worry or pain into our lives. Father, we surrender these things to you. Some of us have lived with it so long that we don't know how to give it up. We don't know how to give it up because it's become part of us. But today I say, by the blood of Jesus, we bind every deception that would say, I have to live with this thing. And we say, be gone off of that person today. Be gone off of you today. Be delivered from that thing today. Be delivered from that fear today. Be delivered from that impossible thing today. In Jesus' name, as we pray in faith, Father, do it today. Do it today for your children. Do it today, dear God, for those that are saying, I need a touch from God. And we'll believe for it to happen now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Wow, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Come next week ready to pray and to stand, and for Brother Roe and Becky to back us up with music next week, and for petitions and declarations. Do it during the week. Practice during the week. I'm going to practice during the week so that when Sunday comes, we'll be able to do our part. Amen.
Be ready.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.